They did that once for on April Fool's at Fog Creek, where let's see, they made a fake Joel on Software post where Joel had decided to open source FogBugs, and they served it only inside the company
on joelonsoftware.com,
and Ben had written it to sound like Joel's voice. He'd done a great job with it, and so you went and you looked at it and you're like, haha, April Fool's, haha, and then you get to the bottom and there's a link to a zip file which has all the code in it. So you're like, haha, funny joke, Joel. Wait, Joel tried to post a joke and then actually posted the source code. So then everyone started freaking out, and I think Michael Pryor saw it and like called up and was like yelling at people, and then it turned out to be a funny joke.
I was pretty sure that I hadn't written that post and then forgotten it, but it really was in my voice. Like, Ben Pollock did
he's a good writer. He did a great job.
So I immediately tried checking from another IP address.
The moral of the story is that Joel's employees all do think he's crazy, and when Michael Pryor yells, you shouldn't listen.
Okay, this is Stack Exchange Podcast number 38 with Jay.
Hello.
David.
Hey.
And Will.
Hello.
Have you ever been on the podcast before?
Never.
Will is the...
make him wear a beanie.
PM. We don't know what the P stands for, but the M stands for manager. So he's like some kind of manager of the careers team, Careers 2.0 by Stack Overflow. Stack Overflow Careers 2.0. Which I see here, according to this advertisement, is now launching in Germany.
Yes. A lot's happened since we launched, which is, I think, the last time we talked about careers on the podcast.
When we relaunched as Careers 2.0. I'm pretty sure that's the last time we talked about it.
That was years ago. I almost have forgotten.
Almost
that.
2 years.
Was it really?
Before we go to Germany, maybe we should talk a little about what does careers do exactly, Will? What makes careers special?
This is Will we're talking to, not Jeremy.
Yes.
Can I call you Jeremy, Will?
You can, but I won't answer.
Your new name is Willermy. I like it.
Who is Jeremy? Do we have a Jeremy?
He's the new core PM. He just started this week.
Yeah, but he's not on the podcast.
No.
We're going to have him on the
welcome
podcast.
Welcome, Jeremy. Let's have him
on
the podcast.
We'll give him a few months
time.
Before we subject him to this madness.
Yeah.
Everybody has to come on the podcast and meet the people.
So, Will, tell us about careers.
Yes. So, careers is the best place for employers to find technical talent and the best place for programmers and developers to find great employers. And basically, we do this through two products. Employers can post job listings, which then get advertised on Stack Overflow and some of the other tech-specific Stack Exchange sites.
Joel on Software.
Yeah, and Joel on Software, yeah.
Coding Horror, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other product is CV Search, which allows the employers to search candidates who have opted in to being part of the candidate database. They can see basically really cool stuff on them. So it's not just your basic profile that you would get on LinkedIn, but it also includes things like, you know, the top answers that you have on Stack Overflow that have been upvoted, and the user gets to sort of define which answers they want to show off on their profile. We can also link in your GitHub repositories and other projects that you've worked on before that are online.
So in addition to kind of normal job search matching type sites, which I've heard there are others.
Yes.
OkCupid.
Like OkCupid, for example.
For the job of girlfriend.
It's like a matter of time. Never mind.
I'm hiring a girlfriend. I'm on OkCupid.
Yeah, Joel on OkCupid. They essentially can present their sort of public artifact. They can select from their public artifact portfolio. That becomes part of sort of what the employers say.
Sure, yeah. And it's really helpful, you know, to especially to technical hiring managers who can actually gain knowledge from looking at, you know, the answers that they've had on Stack Overflow, actually going into their open source projects on GitHub, and they get a much better idea. They can probably save time on the interview process just knowing what this person's capable of, what type of problems they've solved, what their level is.
Can they speak and can they describe things in kind of real human terms about technical topics, complexity, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
So just stepping back, the kind of big picture goal of careers, the reason we started is we've got all these awesome programmers on Stack Overflow, and some of them need jobs. A lot of them need better jobs than the ones they have right now.
Yeah.
And they already know so much. They've already demonstrated on the internet what they know. Why make them, you know, why just reduce them to this kind of resume that doesn't say that much about them when we could actually, you know, show employers their answers and people can actually
Programmer resumes are really terrible.
Yeah.
Because there's never any code on them. Like, I'm looking at one, the guy that we just made an offer to. There's no code. There's not a single line of code on this resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's absolutely nothing other than just saying, it's just basically like a list of companies. And if you've ever heard of them, then that's a good resume. And then some, occasionally there's like little keywords like
C-sharp.
C-sharp, yeah.
Yeah, so the idea is, you know, trying to move away from that towards kind of this, you know, show, don't tell model, right? Show us the projects that you've done, show us your open source, show us some public artifacts that you've made, your blog, your Stack Overflow answers.
Your Instagram.
Right, okay.
Maybe not that.
Maybe if there's a lot of code that you take
look at the contrast in this code. It's beautiful.
So, 70s filters makes code look better.
Not Instagram.
It definitely does. Fine. So show employers what you've actually done. So that's kind of the idea. And it's been pretty popular since we relaunched as Careers 2.0 a couple years ago. And we're up to, I think we just crossed 75,000 profiles in the database.
So around 84 now.
84. Yeah. See, my news is like 3 days old and we're at 84,000 already.
84,000.
Profiles.
So yeah.
If you're looking to hire a programmer, we got 84,000 that you can search.
Yep.
They're all the same.
Yeah. It's kind of a balancing act too. We have all the normal stuff that you would normally see on a resume or on your LinkedIn profile or something like that. I mean, the key is that, you know, hiring managers want to see something that looks like a resume because they're used to parsing through thousands and thousands of resumes. But at the same time, we want to, add in that additional kick that will help even normal hiring managers, and especially the technical hiring managers.
One thing I've noticed is that the average old school big company hiring department has separated out the tasks of finding resumes from the tasks of actually reviewing candidates. Mm-hmm. So they don't actually know what to do when we say, hey, why don't you search on Stack Exchange and find some awesome people, or on Stack Overflow Careers, CV search, that sometimes confuses them. Whereas for me, I can go in there and just click a few buttons and immediately start identifying good programmers.
Absolutely. And it's one of those like long-term goals of Careers, right? Is the better matching we can do, the less technical you need to be in order to run a search, right?
Yeah.
I just realized that air quotes don't work on this. So
yeah,
we'll all pretend we could hear. But yeah. and I mean, we've
got quote unquote, you just have to say quote unquote.
Yeah. Okay.
We've got that. You sound pretentious.
So-called.
We have a lot of taxonomy too they can look for, right? So instead of getting into all that keyword silliness where people are just trying to get those words in their resume, people can present where they were writing historically in volume and high complexity in a given language, for example, right?
Yeah.
So tags and
And the thing is that CV search works really well for all types of hiring managers, right? Whether you're technical or not. The problem is that, the smarter we can be about doing the matching without someone having to understand that just because someone says .NET on their, profile, but they don't make web applications and you're trying to hire a web developer, sometimes hiring managers can't see that directly from the profile or don't understand that from the search results. So if we can get smarter about doing matching, then it takes some of those problems away from the manager doing the work.
Yeah, this is what we call the dating model, right? Thinking of this as basically a dating site like OkCupid that we were just making fun of.
Was that on the air? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was on the air. So
this is becoming an ad for OkCupid. We should reach out to them.
So the dating model is basically, look, you've got kind of companies on one side and you've got programmers on the other side, and we think of it as, our job in the middle is kind of like a dating service, right? We want to match the right people with the right jobs and vice versa. So the idea is to get to a point where companies can come in and instead of saying, I want a C-sharp programmer with 5+ years experience and, 4 years of .NET, we just say kind of describe the technologies you work with, give us the profiles of other people on your team, kind of answer some questions about your company, and then we know enough to go and match you with the right programmers, and we just kind of present you with those people magically. So this is the kind of long-term vision of the product, and one of the hard problems that we're working on the careers team or starting to think about is how do we do that matching? What are the things that developers really care about when they're looking for a job? What's most important to you and so on, so we can make sure we're matching on those things.
Getting through things like culture is difficult, right? And that's one of the things we talk about a lot is how do you as a company, filter by culture, or how do you as a candidate try to find a company that fits the culture that you're looking for?
I think sometimes candidates don't even know that. They'll go interview in a company and they'll look around and they should know by just looking at the way the cubicles are arranged that they're not going to enjoy working at this company. And somehow they ignore that signal because it's not a part of the official. They don't feel like that's an official thing that they should be looking for. Like the fact that the whole company creeps them out doesn't really trigger. They go home and they make a list and they write down the pros and cons and they put the salary and the number of days off
and the
cubicle
and the cons. And
but they may not even notice.
That sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, Joel's like, you're weighing all these like these really kind of measurable things about how it works instead of just going like, those people aren't like me and I don't belong.
Well, that's the thing. The like me, don't belong. That's the people tend to focus on things that they can measure.
Yes.
Rather than things that
right.
They can't.
So the salary is overemphasized and the how happy you're going to be there is underemphasized, especially programmers, right? Because programmers like numbers and
we should put more smiley
stats.
We should put smiley faces all over the office and then people could count the number of smiley faces to assess how happy they'll be.
Just the people should be happy.
There are 47% more smiley faces there than at the last company I went to.
Beatings will continue until morale improves.
I feel like there's still a lot of blue ocean here. Like I feel like you've taken that model that like we didn't invent candidate matching, right? Far as this search thing that we're talking about, kind of what sites like Monster and this more technically focused ones, right, do, but we do it better, right? Because it's just a lot more, you can pre-filter in kind of big meaningful ways. But it seems like, so that's better than that, but it seems like then the next, there's a lot of space between that and then, you know, the for 25% of everything you were going to pay this person, I'll help find you people, right? There's
oh yeah,
like it seems like there's a giant there's still a big gap between kind of our, I would call it advanced candidate finding model, and then there's sort of that full service headhunter model that just seems wildly overpriced for what it is. We talk about external headhunters.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean, that's the idea behind matching, right? Is that the hiring manager then doesn't have to do the work of searching and sorting and finding, right? They just get a list of like, hey, here are three people. These are the people you should be looking at. That's what the recruiter's doing for them. And like you said, I mean, if you're looking at a $100,000 job, they might charge $20,000, $25,000 in order to place that person. Right. You know, when compared to that, we will look like a bargain.
Right.
Right. These are the contingency recruiters for which you're paying, the company is paying an enormous premium. Or really, not that much. Mostly, what they're doing is annoying good developers until they get their resume, and then
Oh, you're not interested? If you give me the name of 10 other people you think might be interested, I'll stop talking to you right now and go call them.
Right.
That's the key. Is when they ask you for other contacts, if you're not interested, you know, it's bad.
To be clear, we love internal recruiters. Hi, Joe. Welcome,
we just hired
aboard.
One.
We also like retained recruiters.
Yeah. It's the contingency recruiter model that's broken, where it's like you're putting a bounty on each person that you
hire.
They're trying to
interject themselves in between a transaction that's going to take place with or without them, so that they can get a fee.
It's very similar to the realty model, right?
The real estate brokers.
That person is quote unquote providing service, but their interests are totally not aligned with yours.
And they even if they act like, I mean, the amount of money that they make is entirely dependent on how many commissions they get.
Right.
Yeah.
Closing deals, not making good deals for the counterparties.
Which is often just a matter of like getting houses for sale, getting houses that you can list. So it essentially becomes a spammy business where you just, it's all a numbers game.
There's also this weird thing where they think they're trying to develop like long-term relationships with their talent or their programmers, which is odd if you think about it, right? Instead of trying to place somebody in a job they're going to be happy in and for 10 years, they're trying to place somebody in a job they're going to be happy in 2 years, for 2 years, so that they can place them in another job after two
it's
years.
It's interesting
so
that you say 2 years because the contract usually says 1 year. They get paid if you stay for a year, and then they're going to start calling you.
They immediately start calling you, and they think of that as like a good thing, like they've established a relationship with you, and they're just shuffling you through crappy jobs.
Okay, I want to change the subject, unless you guys have something unbelievably awesome planned.
Well, there's just one other thing we wanted to mention about careers.
Oh.
Which is that we're hiring.
Oh, yes.
No, was there also maybe one other thing, which was the main thing we wanted to talk about on careers?
I don't even remember.
There was another large thing.
The Germany thing.
Yeah.
How come this localization took so long? It's been months that everybody's been saying, hey, we're localizing for Germany. Can't you just go in and replace a bunch of strings with the equivalent strings in the German language?
No.
It turns out
it's slightly more complicated than Joel imagines.
One of those Hacker News conversations that starts with why didn't they just ... and then is followed by it turns out ...
Was Babelfish down? Yeah, I don't understand.
Wait, I can just use find and replace in Word, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We finally do seem to have killed the meme of I could replace that over a weekend, right?
Yeah, I could do that in Visual Basic in a weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, well, it was interesting because no one on the team had ever localized the site before, and the site had no concept of wanting to be localized when it was built.
So
it
No one knows that they have localization nature.
That's really the big thing is that retrofitting localization onto a site that was not ever designed for it is painful.
Yeah, exactly. And we ended up early on realizing that getting all the text out of the C sharp, getting all the text out of the JavaScript was going to be difficult. It took a long time. We had to go through a lot. I mean, every line of code, basically, to make sure that we could do this. And then, later on, we had little treats like, oh, we have text in the database. How are we going
to
get this out?
Yeah, there's a bunch of a bunch of different pieces to this. Text is one of them, but the text gets hard. Going through and replacing the strings isn't hard. What gets hard is when there's a number in the string or when there's four numbers in the string or when it's plural or not plural, and you got to make sure you handle pluralization correctly.
So there's some logic that says if x equals one, then
there's
string,
all sorts of stuff you get to do because you got to make sure you ask the translator. You got to know that it's a number so you can make sure you ask the translator for all the permutations of it. And
30% of German words have more than 28 letters.
So then there's the second secondary problem, which is once you actually do all that and you get the German in there and you find a good company to do the translation and you're happy with them, then you find out that a thing that was four letters in English, what was the example of this, like
28
job, turns out to be like 28 letters in
receipt
German.
Receipt is 19 characters or 20 characters, I think, in German.
So there's a lot of words like that in German in particular, which just makes all your layouts break. And then you're going back to your translators and you're saying, could you give us a shorter word that means almost the same thing?
is now when I get to say Schadenfreude? It's not really related, but if I don't say it,
it's not going to happen on this podcast.
So it turns out that it's like anything else. It looks easy on the surface, but the last 10% is 90% of the effort.
Nick Larson says it's the word edit.
And then the other thing we had to do was go through and rewire everything to accept different currencies so that we can now take euros in Germany instead of charging them dollars, which no longer really made any sense. So that's also another big chunk of work. We had to rewrite a lot of our back end processing payments. We're not processing the credit cards ourselves, but and then it turned out that our credit card processor couldn't process
this
euros
is for one and, country
yes but we did it right so that hopefully when we localize into France or Japan or something like that, it
bear
won't
biting take... like biting bears.
We did manage to not to avoid the pitfall of going through and just replacing every string with if language equals German, then this else this. We did manage to build it in a general way that we can plug in other languages and other currencies, and it'll be 90% of the work will be reusable the next time.
Joel, for what it's worth, you just said biting bears without explaining that you were referring to something in the chat room related to
this conversation. I said the word edit is the one that grows dramatically in German because we have these little tiny buttons everywhere that say edit. And then and the German for that is bear biten, I guess, which sounds like
that's
it means
not
biting
how you
bears.
Say it.
Bier biten or...
Let's just not even try.
The accent was better,
what we need is four people who don't speak German all trying. I think will help.
So the nice thing that helped us here is we have a developer who speaks German and we have a salesperson who speaks German. Yep. They didn't do the translation for us because that would have been
the other thing. I know when you do these translations is every time you show it to a native speaker, they always say, "Oh yeah, that's not right."
This
is no good.
If you think about the translator's job, it's really hard because they're just getting strings in a spreadsheet or something, and they're just translating them, and they don't really get to see where it shows up on the page. And
we did some cool stuff actually that made that a little bit easier. Like when we sent our stuff off to the company we ended up using, Aclaro, we would send them the actual string and then the URL which that string appears on.
So they could at least look at it theoretically.
Yeah. I mean, unless it was behind, like, if it was a error on the checkout process, they probably couldn't reproduce it. But for the most part, most of the text could be found that way.
And they didn't necessarily do that because that would take more time and they could just type the translation rapidly into their translation tool.
Yeah, but we had a two-step process. Basically, we sent it all to them, they did their translation, and then we had a couple of Germans who work for us go through and read it and tell us why it was wrong. And then we could push back on them and say, the other thing you find out is you have to kind of build up a glossary of terms, which is probably everybody who's done this before knows this, but we didn't realize that. You got to have a glossary of things that you make sure they're translated the same way every time, and you're always using the same word for
Because sometimes
a job listing.
Sometimes
those
localization companies, the translation companies, will split it among 10 people so they can do it faster.
Right. We don't know what's happening.
And then you'll have a whole group of people, and then you'll have a help file that says, go to this page and click on the whatchamacallit button, and then on that page the button will have a different word.
The McGillicuddy button.
Because it got translated differently.
Yep.
Matt points out also that we support Markdown in all our strings all over the place.
Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just a slog. You just got to kind of push through it.
We didn't even mention emails, which is another interesting thing.
Yeah. The design ramifications of accepting different colored money, you know.
That didn't come
all up.
We do have the part of the site where you can hold it up to your screen, and we accept bills that way.
Yeah. I keep asking. I said bitcoins are still next on our currency list.
That's down the road.
Speaking of which, do we accept? We should take Google Wallet. Do we take Google Wallet? Everybody should take Google Wallet. I don't know. I just found that I was buying a sweater earlier today, and one of the options is Google Wallet. And you just click that button, and it's it. That's it. They ship it to your house. They have your address and your credit card on file. It's magic.
This podcast brought to you by Google and the Google Wallet service. Enjoy it today at your local sweater shop.
I didn't mean to be an advertisement, but it was amazing how much more crap you buy when it's like
one
click.
I know a solution.
Compared to having to type your address, shipping address, billing address, make an account, choose your password.
Just buy everything you want to buy on Amazon. They sell everything.
Do they sell software developers on Amazon? True.
I'm pretty sure they do.
After we get through Bitcoin and maybe magic beans, we'll do Google Wallet.
The chat room points out that I've somehow changed the subject.
What? I didn't notice. Without an awkward segue, I doubt that.
Well, you guys were talking about holding money up to the computer somehow.
We got back to buying developers. It's all related.
Was there something else in localization that was particularly tricky or...
The email stuff was pretty tricky. We covered most of it, but accepting foreign currencies could end up becoming pretty tricky because we had to switch over payment processors and merchant accounts.
Yeah, that was
fun. Like
that was when we found out that our payment processor wouldn't take euros. And...
Yeah.
Were there any images we had to localize? That's often an issue, which is like you may not even think it's an image, but you have a toolbar that has a dollar sign on it that you're supposed to click.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, not our logo. Our logo didn't have anything that needed changing, but we have screenshots of like your profile, Joel. There's a screenshot on there. We're gonna change that to Ben's profile because he has
There's a few screenshots. Unfortunately, we really don't use. And all that stuff. The this was a lot more of a problem 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Now you just don't. When it was just normal to have text and images because it was the only way to make it look good, right?
Yeah.
Now we've got text as text, and you can do. Right. You know, drop shadows and all that stuff effects with just the CSS. So that wasn't as much of a problem, but that gets to be a huge pain when you have to worry about that.
Okay.
So that was localization.
Yeah. What else is going on?
And then the last thing with careers is that that we are hiring. Just wanted to make a note of that. If you're a developer in New York or interested in moving to New York, we're building a big, beautiful office, and now we have to fill it.
Let's talk about all the reasons. Well, first of all,
where else are you going to get a hexagonal office? Let's talk about that.
That's right. First of all, you're going to have a private office that is going to be hexagon shaped.
Yeah.
Yes.
With a door that slides closed, lots of glass and windows and stuff like that on our beautiful, spectacular office, which feels like a boat because it's so high up.
And it's just two floors.
Yeah.
Did you say it feels like a boat because it's so high up?
Yes, I think because you look out the windows and you just sort of see sky.
It did kind of feel nautical.
Boats really
when you look
only
out.
Work at sea level.
Do you
Joel.
Mean
it's
airplane?
Quite definitional.
You'll sit in your office and feel nauseous.
No, an airplane has little teeny tiny windows that you look out of and you can't see anything.
What kind of boat are you thinking about?
A boat that flies about 300 feet up above Manhattan.
It's like a tower in that it's underground.
Got it. Okay, so the boat. If you want to work
the
in a boat,
sort of feel like a
flying.
You know how they have the big square windows on ferries.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Just sort of continuous kind of strip
the,
square windows
the,
all around.
The seats that you can never quite get comfortable in because they've got like the fixed armrests.
We're gonna have super comfortable seats. Sorry, this is all Aeron's all the time.
What Joel's getting at is if you like confusing similes, this is the place to work.
It's gonna be a really nice office.
It's near the seaport. That's right, and it
it all comes back to boats.
You can be programming on a boat.
You could probably take a ferry to work if you live over.
The link will be in the show notes.
Over in Brooklyn, you could probably take the ferry right to.
Yeah. You could actually. Oh my God, you could take the water taxi. If you lived in Dumbo, you'd walk out your house, you jump on a 4-minute water taxi, and you'd be at the office.
Yeah.
And when the subways are down, which the subways in Brooklyn go down.
Yeah.
Easy way to get in.
Then you can take the ferry.
Dallas pitch is deteriorating.
Okay, let's talk about the other reasons why it's awesome to live in New York.
Coffee bar.
That's right.
Just New York in general.
Well, just New York in general. I was talking to a candidate today, so I was. Yeah, one thing about New York, which is different from a lot of the other places where people go to work, is that you already have friends here.
What?
Like everybody has like 10
you,
friends.
Are you offering to be? Oh,
if you don't know anyone in New York, you're the kind of loser who can't work here.
I don't
here.
Know if that's really a selling point. we like promise them. You already have friends here. You just don't know it.
You will find, for example, if you went to a university, say, and then you graduated and you went to work in, let's say, Austin or the Bay Area or Seattle for one of those big tech companies in one of those places, you already have more friends in New York than you do in Austin, Bay Area. You just do. That's just the way it is.
Because you're working so much there that you don't have any friends.
That's
but here
the first
you'll
reason.
Have friends.
And the second reason is that, you know, you'll have friends from college and from high school that ended up here and family members and stuff like that.
That's kind of an odd sales pitch.
I don't
Come
know
to
we're
New York
about.
Where you have friends.
That's a good reason to move to New York.
Huh. Also,
plus,
the subway, you don't have to own a car.
Your husband.
That is huge.
Or wife. I should be equally opportunity offensive here. Can find a job no matter what. Career that they work in. So, for example, if you go to the Bay Area and you have a fashion model husband, then he's not going to be able to get a job in the Bay Area.
Because we all do.
Yeah.
so many of our listeners are married to fashion models.
I thought Joel really had insulting our user base, but David was really quick to jump in and
just hammer that one home. Or somebody that wants to go to, let's say, for example, that your significant other wants to go to medical school. Well, we have like 10 medical schools, which...
That's an interesting example you bring up, because I believe there have been two or three programmers who have moved away from Fogg Creek or Stack Exchange because they...
No. First of all, we had people that moved
because their significant other wanted to go to medical school.
No, that's why they moved here. Well, that's true. We had as many people move here to go to medical school as to move away.
Yeah, there was
the
one who went to Poland.
New York. Yeah.
Speaking of Europe.
Yeah.
I moved here so my wife could go to medical school here, but I did it many years before I joined here because that was a long plan. I was really focused on this. Did you have another topic, Joel?
No, do you guys?
So it sounds like move to New York because it's big.
You know what? You know what else people? You know what else people have in New York?
Sales pitch ever. What's awesome about working at Stack Exchange? Go
free food.
Okay.
Cuban healthcare.
Yeah,
it is like Cuban healthcare.
Well, which we mean covered. Not that it's, you know, oppressive.
No.
And
no. And it's very not like good. Mark Cuban healthcare
everything.
Either. It's
no. It's everything is free and totally paid for, and there's no like copays and crap like that.
Like, don't actually have to pay anything.
What's even better is that they have a certain kind of magic where no one gets sick. You don't even need the health care.
Okay, now you're just making stuff up.
Free metro cards.
Free metro cards. You can ride the subway and the bus anywhere for free. Which
comped workouts. Workout.
Oh, yeah, we pay for your gym.
Health care or whatever you call it.
If you like programming, this place is ideal for you.
No, false. Don't ever.
The gym reimbursement is like a shame program. It's just like you've taken everything away from like the reasons you might not join a gym, and it's just because you suck
now
that you don't go to the gym.
It does make it very obvious.
It would be free.
We have more nightclubs than any other city.
Huh. Are we back on that?
Nightclubs.
Some of your extra bonus that we pay people for working in New York.
Oh, and we've had 300-year storms in the last 2 years, so you're probably good for a while.
Three?
I think there were three, weren't there?
There was the Irene.
Yeah.
Then there was Sandy.
Why'd you have to call him on it?
What's really the statistical difference of 2 and 3 and 100-year? I mean, it's the same.
Wasn't there a
gigantic
winters nor'easter?
Are getting milder thanks to global warming.
That's right. It is really rather pleasant.
Last year was like the mildest winter ever.
It was great.
It was Irene, Sandy, and then like 2 weeks ago, I went out and didn't have an umbrella and it stunk, so I counted three.
That's not a 100-year situation. That's it.
You didn't see how wet
I got. Oh, yeah, the blizzard. Somebody in the chat room points out the blizzard.
Yeah,
Bloomberg failed to have any plows out, and there were streets in Brooklyn that didn't get plowed for a month.
Quick you were to ridicule me.
I don't know if that was a 100-year storm. It was just a failure on the part of the authorities.
Bart points out that we have beach parties. There's a beach party.
Oh, yeah, there's a beach party.
Yes.
It increasingly sounds like we're making things up, and most of this is actually true.
That's just because so much stuff goes down in the city. We had the Republican National Convention. I mean,
we all have lunch together. There's like a big like group lunch.
That's true.
Catered lunches every day.
Optional. People don't understand that you are not required to go. You go because you want to.
Yeah, people get really weirded out about the lunches.
You're just required to want to.
If you don't want to, we have a 2-hour training session every day to help understand why you don't want to.
There's at least one day a week where like 3/4 of the company refuses to go to the lunchroom because it's fish, and everyone has this big gripe against fish from
like
the catering
fish.
Company, and they all go downstairs and
that's
eat
right,
junk
they all
food.
Go eat junk food.
Actually, I'll point out something that's an advantage that I notice is on all of our job listings that we put out on careers and everything is we don't poke people with a sharp stick.
I love that line. There is absolutely nothing oppressive about working for us.
Yes.
You will not have a bad manager.
Well.
Except me. But I'm like 3 levels removed at this point.
Yeah. You don't even need to talk to Joel.
Yeah.
That's a perk. Wait, no, you should want to talk to Joel. That's a reason to work here.
Okay. Now anything else on our list?
You know what else people do in New York sometimes? I see it pretty frequently. They wear hats.
Yeah. Hat. That is a great
there
point.
Are a lot of hats in New York.
Are you thinking of like the hipster hats?
Quite
the
a variety
hats.
Of hats in New York.
There's lots of, you know, and hats.
Especially like winter-themed hats.
See, I love winter.
Hats have pretty much disappeared from the California lexicon. Even the hipsters in California don't know about hats.
I feel like hats need to be celebrated.
We should do something with it. David, can you think of anything we could do with hats?
I feel like there's something we could do. I feel like Joel doesn't quite get the joke yet.
Yeah.
Speaking of hats, are we doing anything with hats on the site?
Oh, hats. Cool. Oh, yeah.
No, the audience doesn't get the joke yet.
Yeah. Oh, we got to explain it eventually.
So last year, we did this thing kind of unexpectedly called Hat Dash on the gaming
Hat Dash.
Site.
Unexpectedly?
Yeah.
It just appeared. We came in and we're like, what are these things?
We didn't tell anybody on the site we were doing it, except the mods. We asked them before we did it, but they didn't tell anybody other than that. And so like a week before, I wrote this really crazy blog post that made no sense, and people freaked out and were like, why are you posting blog posts that make no sense? And then a week later, all of a sudden we launched this thing, which like reskinned the site with snow, and you could unlock hats for your Gravatar by doing certain things like asking questions in certain tags or asking a certain number of questions and getting upvotes on them or posting in chat. So we had like 30 different hats, and they were for the gaming site. There were a lot of them were video game themed, but we had kind of your holiday hats and your, let's see, some of my favorite ones were that we had the Scrooge hat for participating in closing a question. We had the Wampa Kappa, which was a Star Wars reference, which was a severed Wampa head that you could wear on top of your Gravatar.
Mm-hmm.
That one was kind of strange. We had a Darth Vader helmet since there was a Star Wars game that had just come out. We had all sorts of fun. So we had the Minecraft helmet. So we had a lot of fun doing this last year, and the users really seemed to like it, except for a few people who hated hats. But we gave them a nice button at the bottom of the page that said, I hate hats, and they clicked it, and then all the hats disappeared and they could pretend it wasn't happening. So we did that, and it was a huge hit on the site. But the thing we didn't expect was a bunch of other sites coming and saying, hey, why didn't we get hats? We want hats on our site, which sort of surprised us because hats seemed like kind of a crazy idea that only the gaming community would be
into. As everyone
knows,
gamers love hats and no one else uses hats.
This is actually
perfectly obvious.
Well, hats are kind of a thing in video games that we don't have to go into it, but it was kind of already a meme on the site, which is why we had the idea.
Right.
So this year, we decided to offer it to all the sites, and the way we decided to do that was to ask the mods, and the mods could either decide, yes, this is something we definitely want, or no, this is something we definitely don't want, or they could go and ask their site because they weren't sure. And I think so far we've had, I don't know, like 60 or 70 sites opt into it, and we're still tallying the results from that. So you're now getting a sneak peek in a few weeks. I think the December 19th is when it... we'll go live on all the sites that are participating, and we'll have a nice, we're calling it Winter Bash 2012, and we'll have a nice landing page you can go to see all the hats and see what you have to do to unlock them, and there'll be secret hats.
Says it's on 74 sites, so that's like almost
74
all.
Sites, almost I mean, all the yeah. sites. There's only a few that said no, and there's a few that just didn't respond. But
and there's some that we didn't invite.
There's no, we ended up sending them an email to just say, hey, we're pretty sure you don't want this, but just so you don't feel left out, you know, we'll ask, and then they said, no, of course we don't want that. The one site, which, you know, is fair in
give
their
them
defense, hats
cap.
Wouldn't really
some,
make sense
some,
in their community.
Right. So, some sites were, I think, wanted to maintain a highly professional presentation.
Yes, which we are definitely, fine. Which is why we decided not to just opt all sites into this, because we're sensitive to that. But
it's also
reason,
opt-in for users, right?
It is, it's on the
opt
sites that,
users.
It's opt-out for users. It's really easy. You just click the button at the bottom of every page that says, I hate hats, and it goes away forever on all your sites.
It's kind of a win, too, because if you hate hats now, it's not just a neutral. You've gotten to, like, destroy a bunch of hats you saw.
Yeah, you just, you know, you made your
everyone gets something they want.
You made your opinion known. And everyone else will see you with, you know, see your Gravatar with the I hate hats hat. No, not true.
that'd be awesome if instead they'd have a hat and it says I hate hats, and we put that on. I mean, we dive you exactly.
So we should say that the one site we're not, we decided not to opt in to even have the opt in is Stack Overflow. We're making it off by default there, but there you have the opposite button at the bottom of the page, which is the I love hats button.
Right.
If you want to have hats on Stack Overflow, you go and click that and suddenly you start seeing hats. And that's just because partly it was a technical thing where we weren't sure that, you know, millions of people coming to Stack Overflow when we had to load all these images, it might slow down the site.
Is this going to make sense to anybody? Hats.
And there was also that concern, which is like the whole internet freaks out, which is like, why are there hats on Stack Overflow? Stack Overflow has jumped the shark. So
is Stack Overflow covered in hats or is it just me?
So
that's the plan.
That's a thing that's happening. And we hope people enjoy it. We hope it's a fun thing, kind of an end of the year. Two weeks only. Once the 2 weeks are over, all the hats go back in the box. You don't get them. You don't get to see them again.
But virtual box.
The virtual box.
What's
the metaphorical box as opposed to the virtual box? Yeah. So anyway, for 2 weeks and 2 weeks only, or 2.5 weeks, you get to unlock hats right around the end of the year as kind of a holiday / end of the year celebration.
All right.
So
have we considered like punishment hats at all? Like if you get downvoted a bunch, you get a dunce hat or something like that?
We try, like with badges, to avoid incentivizing you to do bad things because there are users that if you had a dunce cap, they would decide they needed to earn the dunce cap and they would go deliberately posting bad stuff.
But it wouldn't be hard. It.
You've been warned to stop acting so crazy. Now you wear the punion beard.
Not challenging.
Oh, that's a good one. The punion beard. The baby beard, which it's the baby beard that'll be disappearing in a few weeks.
When Punyan has a baby.
I guess this is a thing. I don't know. Or maybe he made it up. When you're having a baby, you just don't shave. I think this was just an excuse to not have to shave.
This is
for the entire 9 months. It's way out of control.
It sounds a lot better than I have no explanation for this ridiculous beard.
It's way out of control. He looks like...
It's really after you have the baby that you don't want to shave because you're busy and
tired.
Well,
he's going to shave as soon as the baby comes and then I guess keep it clean shaven, I hope. I don't know. It's getting frightening. It's very caveman-ish right now.
Anything else on our... You know, it's no shame not to have anything to talk about on the podcast. We could just wrap it up. Okay, play music. When I was a kid, the news in Israel, the nightly news on the television started at 9 p.m. And it ran... There was only one channel because it was all government-operated television in those days. And the news ran until they ran out of things to tell you about. And it would be somewhere between 20 minutes and an hour. And sometimes even longer. And sometimes, you know, like if it was a war going on or something, they would just go all night. But usually it was 20 minutes to 45 minutes. That was the usual range. And you never knew when anything was going to be on television after that because the entire evening schedule would just adjust based on how long the news went. But it was nice. They were like, hey, we don't have any news. It's only been 9 hours and 20 minutes. We don't have to show you a baby polar bear from the Berlin Zoo to keep you entertained for 30
Yeah, they
minutes.
Hadn't learned the whole just, you just have to have the minutes. Stock story that you trot out.
Did you pull out?
Yeah. You just got a file.
Like, is something at the drugstore killing you right now? Yeah. We'll tell you a little bit later.
So, question.
Yes.
I know we have to take a shot when Joel tells an army story. Does that count if he tells a story about just being in Israel?
I think it's Israel stories in general.
He mentioned war.
It's growing up in Israel. It's definitely
there was war
related.
In Israel in there.
That's true. There was war involved in the news broadcasts. I remember when my uncle was working in the State Department in Israel when there were rockets landing and in Tel Aviv and. I was very young and very scared.
Oh.
So there you go. There's a connection. I just told an Israel story.
That's
how about
crazy.
That?
That's like everybody has to drink Kool-Aid.
Well, thanks.
Okay.
I remember when Joel and David were telling stories about the Israeli military once.
Can we fire Jay yet?
Next week on the Stack Exchange podcast, is this thing from the drugstore killing you? We'll tell you what it might be. On the Stack Exchange podcast number 39. Thank you all for listening for this long. Listen, we don't want to take people's time if we don't have anything interesting to say.
This is really good. This is like at least a 4 out of 10, which is a huge improvement over the last few weeks.
We talked about actual things, many of which related to our business.
Okay. Special thanks to our special guest, Will Cole, and our normal guest, Jay David, and I'm Joel Spolsky, your host. Good night.
Night.
Good night, Internet.
Good night. 'Cause we are little
Okay, a bear is a policeman. A hog is actually a hog. It's a pig. That's what they smell badly because bear in the air is a helicopter policeman.
I like where they have those signs, speed limit enforced by aircraft.
Smokey is a bear.
Well, wait, so a bear is a policeman and Smokey is
Did
a bear.
Did you just Google bear on the internet and you're just reading us the top results here? Is that what's going on right now?
He is definitely not reading the top results for that search.